we come here on Fridays, we try to learn a little Nevi'im, just so we get a little of everything. Last week we didn't learn Nevi'im. This week we'll learn the chapter. I think we're up to chapter Zayin. Let's read the story here first. Actually, Zion, I think we did. Zion, we did. So they killed Achan. You know, Achan, he took from the spoils. So now we start Perek Chet. ויאמר אדוני ליהושע אל תירא ואל תחת קח עמך את כל העם המלחמה וקום עלי העי. Alright, take two. They went to fight העי already and they lost. What does it mean they lost? One guy died, יאיר בן מנשה. That's considered lost in Klai Yisrael. One out of 3,000 didn't come back. Already was considered a terrible defeat. And his reason was because Achan was in the mix over there, and as a result of Achan taking from the spoils of Yericho, so that caused casualty in the next war. And so they made a lottery, and they found out that Achan indeed took the spoils, and they made the tikkun, they killed him. And now God says to Yeshua, go back to Ai and do it again. This time don't be afraid. It's a great prediction. God says, not only are you going to get the city, but you're going to get the king. You don't take that for granted. Usually the king, very rarely do you get the king alive. Agag, they got alive. That was a big hadush. The king of Ai is going to get captured alive. Usually the soldiers don't let the king get caught. They protect him. He's the last one. You know, he'll kill himself before he gets caught by the enemy. But here, Borei Olam says, no, this is going to be a big victory. Not only are you going to beat them, you're going to get the king in your hands. Or they hide him, yeah, they hide him in a bunker. So it says, Ve'asita le'ai ul malka, kasher asita yiricho ul malka. That would, it's going to be a victory just like you did in Yericho. However, Rak shelala ubehimta tavozu lachem. Take the spoils. When it came to Yericho, they didn't take the spoils. The reason probably being is because Yericho was ma'aseh nes. And the halacha says you're not supposed to be neheneh from ma'aseh nes. I, as we're going to see, they use strategy. So since the war was won by Derech HaTeva, so then you could take the spoils because it was won with the normal strategies of war. Sim lecha orev la'ir me'achareha. So God says, you're going to use the advantage of an ambush. So that probably explains the pasuk now. I'm looking back, you can read the pasuk like this. Rak shalala ubehimtam tavozu lachem. You know why you can take the spoils? Kosim lecha orev, because you're using an ambush. That's natural tactics. Because I'm telling you to use the natural tactics, so it's not ma'aseh nes anymore. If it's not ma'aseh nes, then the spoils don't become forbidden.
What about Ba'avraham?
What was the story remind me?
Ba'avraham.
Long time ago.
Had five kings and four kings.
Yeah. Well, remind me, I forgot that story. He didn't take. That was a miracle too. Very good. Very good, doctor. George, are you understanding what we're saying here?
Yeah.
Okay. Vayishlachem Yoshua vayelechu el ha-ma'arav. Vayeshivu ben Bet-El uben Ha'ai. So they set up next to the Ai, Miyam the Ai, from the west of Ai. Vayalin Yoshua balayla u'metok ha'am. The Pasuk says over there, Yoshua slept with the people. So in the morning when they're ready to go to war, They're right there. He slept with the people. Yot nachon b'shkemat ha-boker. V'yashkem Yehoshua b'boker. So Yehoshua wakes up early in the morning. V'yifkod et ha'am. As he counts the people. V'ya'alu v'zikne yisilifnei ha'am ha'ay. And they start to go towards Ai. V'chol ha'am ha'milchama shir ito alu v'yigishu v'yibo neged ha'ay. They get to the city. V'yachanu mitzfon na'ay. They get to the north of Ai. והגאי בינב ובין העי. The guy is like the valley is in between. ויקח כחמשת אלפים איש. 5,000 people. כחמשת. ויעשם אותם עורב בין בית אל ובין העי מים לעי. So Rashi says, "Ve'yikar kamesh alafim ish orev achar orev, echad karov la'ir mechavero. Ve'yasimu ha'am et kol ha'mahane shemusho na'ir ve'takebo miyam na'ir, ve'yelech Yehoshua b'alayla ubetok ha'emek." So this is a big tikkun over the pasuk says. It says that night Yehoshua goes into the emek. Remember last time the angel came to Yehoshua and he told him, "How come you're not learning Torah at night? You don't fight wars at night." So this pasuk says over here, "Vayelech Yehoshua b'alayla hu betoch ha'emek." Where's the emek? Umkashel Torah. That means even though he was in the war, he prepared everything. That night there's no fire, there's no night vision. So it says they went to the umkashel halacha. That she says, "Amru rabotenu shelan b'umkashel halacha." Imagine umkashel halacha. The tzaddikim, they study under all circumstances. There's never an excuse for them not to study. And even when they're under dire circumstances, they have the ability to learn be'iyun. Anyway, so they see the Jewish people right at the footsteps of the eyes people to come out to greet the Jewish people. Not to greet them, to fight them. Already Yeshua put after soldiers behind the city. So this was a trap. You draw them out of the city. And then what happens? The Orev comes from behind. And then when they turn around, they're sandwiched. This is old strategy. It's called the ambush. But it's a football play. When I comes out, the Jewish people make believe that they're running. So they run away from them. So the eye is drawn all the way out of the city. So they say, "Ah, here we go again. We're going to kill the Jewish people again." Once they get the last guy out of the city, "Vayizaku kol ha'am asher ba'ay lirdof ha'arev." They chase them. They blew the things. Chase the Jews. "Vayizdefu ha'arev Yehoshua." "Vayinatiku min ha'ir." They left the city empty. "Velo nishar ish ba'ay." Not one male was left. ובתאל אשר לא יצאו אחרי ישראל, they all chased the Jewish people. ויעזבו את העיר פתוחה, they left the city vulnerable, open. וירדפו אחרי ישראל. ויאמר השם אל יהושע, נטה בכידון אשר בידך, take the כידון. Anybody know what a כידון is? כידון, מצודת says, is a רומח. Take the sword, spear, hold the kidon up. Asher biyadecha ilai, ki biyadecha tenena, vayet Yehoshua bakidon. Asher biyado ilair. Strange. There's a connection between our parashiyot. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have the kidon. Moshe Rabbeinu has the mate. Yeshua doesn't have a mate. Yeshua has a kidon. I wouldn't say it's similar. One's a stick and one's a spear.
One's a stick
with a head on. Yeah. That's your way of saying that you made a mistake, right? That's Va'orev kam me'ram me'komo. So the ambush right away comes into position. Va'yarutzu kentot yado, when they see Yeshua's hand up. So that was a sign for them to come in. They come into the city, Vayatzitu et ha'ir ba'esh. Vayatzitu means they ignited. They ignited the city. They put the city on fire. They put the city on fire. Yadiyuk. Vayifnu anshei ha'ay achareihem. The anshei ha'ay turn around. They smell barbecue. Vayir'u. V'hineh ala ashan ha'ir ha'shamayim. They see the whole city smoke. They didn't have the strength to even turn to turn anywhere. They saw that they got caught. They realized what happened. Henna vahenna, both sides. Ve'am anasa midbar, and the Jews that were running now turned around. That is sandwiched. You go back to the city, there's a fire there. You go this way, the Jews are right there. They're caught in the middle. Ve'yoshua, because you said, okay, lachada orev etair, when Yoshua saw that the ambush worked, v'chi ala ashan ha'ir, and the smoke came up. They started to beat up on the Ai people. Now the people from the city came out. So now the sandwich finished. And they were right in the middle. No survivors from Ai. Ve'et melech ha'ay tafsu hay. They grabbed the melech of Ai. They caught him alive, which is a hadush. Just like God said, you're going to catch him. Ve'yekribu oto Yoshua. They bring him to Yoshua. Ve'hiki chalot yisrael la'arog et kol yoshvei ha'ay basadeh b'midbar et shirin dafum bo v'yipelu chulam lefi harem ad tumam. Ve'yashuv ha'kol yisrael la'ay v'yakur otam lefi harem. They killed everybody in the Ai lefi harem. They killed 12,000 people on that day. All the people. He kept his hand up till the end, which is a miracle in itself. You can't keep your hand up, you know, holding something like that for, you know, too long of a time. Your hand gets fatigued. Switch hands, you put your hand down, you go, yeah. He kept his hand up, just like when Moshe Rabbeinu was fighting the wars over there. It says he put his hands up, he was carrying the. So the Pasuk says, Rak habehema ushla la'ir ha'i bazazu la'im Yisrael. In this case, if they took the spoils, Kedvar Hashem, like God told Yeshua. Vayisrof Yeshua et ha'ay. Now, what's the difference? Vayatzitu. What's the vayatzitu vayisrof? Hazak Baruch. He continued the fire. Means when you start your bidikat hametz fire, your biur hametz vayatzitu. When the guy throws in another log, that's vayisrof. The fire is there already. He just added. You understand the difference? Hazak Baruch. Vayisrof Yoshua Ta'ai. Vayisimeh tel olam shebama adayom hazeh. It's barren until today. Now the pasuk says, "Vet Melech Ha'ay." That's it. Both barren. But next to it, right next to it. Yeah, it's next city, next north, south, but it's right next to it. Nothing there. Nothing there. No. I mean, I think they have a Pesach trip in Ai this year. They might have a Pesach program this year in Ai. Let's see a few things. Okay. Ve'et melech ha'ay tala al ha'etz. They hung him on a tree ad et ha'ar, like the halakha says, until the evening. Ukhbo ha'shemesh, when the sun set, siba Yoshua v'irud nevlatom min ha'etz. They took him down. Ve'yashlichu ota el petach shar ha'ir. They threw his body at the gate. Ve'yakimu alav gal abanim. Put stones on him. Ad yom hazeh. Go to see the stones in front of Ai. Underneath it is the king of Ai. I would say that a diyuk I'm going to make now. It says they caught the king of Ai, but they don't kill him till 5 or 6 pasukim later. In pasuk chav gimal ve'et melech Ai tafsu hay. They catch him in chav gimal. They don't kill him, however, until chavtet. Why does it wait to tell us that? Because in between it tells what they did to Ai, which indicates to me that he kept them alive so he could see what they're doing to his city. If they kill him right away, he doesn't see what they're going to do to the city. So if they stand here over here, watch. And why are they killing? What's their tit to kill the king of Ai? He was responsible for killing Ya'ir bin Menasheh. That's it. He killed the. Besides that, he's Rodef and all that other stuff. But he killed the Ya'ir bin Menasheh. So that's it. They took revenge for Ya'ir bin Menasheh. Okay, that's that story over there. So I found the Rabbeinu Bahya over here. That's the Rabbeinu Bahya that I want to read now. So the story over here is in Parashat Beshalach. You remember when the Jewish people were crying for water? Vayitzak Moshe Lashem Nemor Ma'ase La'amaze Od Mat Uskaluni. They're gonna stone me. Yomer Hashem El Moshe Avol Lefnei Am Vekach Etecha Mezikne Yisrael. Take the elders Umatecha Shilekita Botayor. And the stick that you took in order to hit the Yeor, kach biyadecha ve'alachta. So the Rabbeinu Bahya says over here, talk. Umatecha shilekita bo tayor. What happened when he hit the Yeor with the stick? Turned to blood. V'nepak l'ra'a, kach biyadecha ve'kita bo batzuv yitapek l'tova. In the same stick could turn something from good to bad, and it could turn something bad to good. Because it's not the stick, it's Borei Olam. So the same stick that you did for this, do it for that. But Midrash, Asher ikita bo tayor, Shelosha devarim hem, Kol echad mehem dachad ta pur'anut ve'viya pur'anut. There's three items that have double barrel. Sometimes they bring the trouble, and sometimes they get rid of the trouble. Elohim, haketoret v'ha'aron v'mateh. Haketoret d'ahat ha'pur'anut. When did you see the ketoret pushed away the pur'anut? When there was a plague in Klal Yisrael, God told Aharon, go bring the ketoret. The magefa stopped. V'chaper al ha'am. Where do you see ketoret brought trouble? Nadav Avihu. Dav Avihu went and they brought the ketoret zara, and they died. So he said, the ketoret, double-edged sword. Ha'aron. You remember the Aaron was falling off the wagon. We'll learn that story when we get to it. And Uzzah jumped to catch the Aaron that was falling. And the fact that he touched the Aaron, what ended up happening? He died. So the Aaron killed him. However, when they took the Aaron to Oved's house, which we'll learn also, he was the one that protected the Aaron when he was in captivity. It says Oved's family got blessed. Every one of his children got, a lot of children and so on and so forth. Hamateh shel snapirinunaya. This mateh of Moshe was made up of snapirinun. That's like a
sapphire.
It's an expensive item. It wasn't made out of wood. It was plated with the sapphire. Maybe it was pure sapphire. Haya hu sha'arag b'chorei Mitzrayim. V'biya makot. That's brought the makot. It killed the Egyptians. V'hu shotzi mayim menatzur. It kills the Egyptians on one hand. It's the same stick that brings the mayim out. So far so good there, Benumah, yeah? V'da v'etbonen. Shelo nishtameh shum navi b'mateh. Ela Moshe Bilvad. The Moteh is Moshe Rabbeinu's item. It's his trademark. That's his copyright. Nobody can use a Mateh. Even the biggest Kasidus Rebbe, you see him walking around with the Mateh, that's different. That's not the Mateh. Umepne Shamateh ayat hilata otot. It's the Mateh that started all the miracles in Egypt. Nimsar le Moshe shayat tchilat neviim. Should have been you the first of the neviim. This is the first of the miracles that we're going to make publicly. You get the mateh. Ve'av Yoshua talmido shekibel mimenu lo nishtamesh b'mateh ela b'kidon. Even Yoshua, that it's a student, he cannot use the mateh. That's why he had to take a different item. He had to take a kidon. Why couldn't he take a stick? stick is only for Moshe Rabbeinu. Huh? Remind me that story. You don't know. Okay, so you don't know. You don't know. Hu shekatuv vayomer Hashem el Yoshua nete bakidon Hashem yadcha la'ay. V'ta'am adava, the reason, ki yamate asher biyad Moshel, and the leader is carrying the mate, more al ha'adnut. It shows the sovereignty. V'ale yecholet v'ale kawah. The mate is like the you're coming as an agent of God with the mate in your hand. It's the sign of power. Kanyan shekatuv mate oz shevet Moshel, aval akidon. Every soldier goes out to war, he has a sword in his hand. It's like the stripes that there's. Everyone has the same stripe. The general, he has
three,
you know, different siman. So everybody in the war carries a kidon. But the general, he carries a mateh. It's a different level of power. So he says, "V'hine ha'efresh shebin ha'mateh v'ha'kidon, ka'efresh shein bin nevuat Moshe nevuat Yoshua." The prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu was directly pe'el peh. Therefore, the mateh is a symbol of that relationship. You get God's stick, so to speak. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu and Yoshua, it was a lower level of prophecy. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is compared to the sun. Yeshua is compared to the moon. So he says now the Hiddush that I came to say. V'hine, yadua. V'amateh, misparo yadua. The number is known. He doesn't even want to tell it to us. Amateh, misparo yadua. How much is mate? Mem is 40. Tet is 9. That's 49. And he is 54. But it's hamate. 59. Ve hamate.
65.
Ve hamate.
Corresponding to?
The name of God, Adanut. That's why Vahmate equals 60. He didn't tell us, Vahmate bisparo yadua. He means it's Adanut. Because the Mate represents you're coming directly, you were empowered by who? By the Adon. When the Adon, which is Adanut Hashem, Vahmate. That's what the Pasuk is saying over here. Vahmate hazet, ikach biyadecha, shetaseh bo ta'atot. So Rabbeinu Bachya says,
where is
Rabbeinu Bachya? This Rabbeinu Bachya is in Parashat Beshalach. Yeah. Yeah, but by the rock, he's saying. So he says again, V'amateh Misparo Yadua, 65, which is Adanut. Because the Ber Bahia learns that the Mate only Moshe Rabbeinu can take the Mate, because Moshe Rabbeinu is Pnei Hama. The Hama is direct light. The Hama doesn't receive its light from somewhere else. It's intrinsic source of light. So therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is Pnei Hama. He takes the Mate. He's being directly charged by the Adon. And therefore, nobody could take us. Nobody's like Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, if you remember the story that Moshe Rabbeinu, after the golden calf, after the Egel, what happened? After the Egel, a story happens like this. A story happens like this. God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, that's it. I'm tired of the people over here. They're making these averot. I'm sending an angel instead of me. And the angel is going to go take you from here to Eretz Yisrael, and he'll be your new agent. Borei Olam says Kivyachol is retiring from going directly with Klai Yisrael. Bring the malach. Moshe Rabbeinu says impossible. Moshe Rabbeinu says, if you're not going to take us directly, al ta'avirenu b'zeh. Moshe Rabbeinu refuses to accept that they're going to be taken by a malach. He doesn't want to lose the hashra'a. So Borei Olam says, fine. The filah of Moshe Rabbeinu worked. However, once they get into Eretz Yisrael, it changed already. That's what it means when it says, Pnei Yoshua, Kifnei Hama, Pnei Moshe, Kifnei Hama, Pnei Yoshua, Kifnei Lebana. The Lebana is indirect light. That's already through a malach. It's Moshe Rabbeinu who goes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this indirect light, you're getting it from a second source. So therefore, says the Benu Ba'ya, tremendous chidush. When Yoshua is fighting against the eye, he can't lift up the mater, because the mater nobody could touch. The mater represents Gematria Adanut. And already by the time Yoshua came into Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't direct anymore. It was via a malach. So says the great rabbi, he says, V'kidon. Well, let's do kidon. Half is how much? 20. Yud is how much?
10.
So that's 30. Dalit Vav is 10. So how much is that?
40.
And Nun is how much? 50. So that's 90. And the word itself is how much? 1. So it's 91. Vikidon hu hamalach. Or Vikidon, if you do the Vav, so Vikidon is exactly Gematria hamalach. Bediuk, which is hamalach. 96. So therefore you see over here that Vekidon is Gematria Malach and Mateh is Gematria Adanut. In order, so if there was a big secret over here, that the reason why he chose a Kidon is because that's already a siman of the Hashpa'a that's only coming from a Malach. Vehaven Zeh נבואת משה הייתה מעמיתת הכוח העליון בלתי אמצעות מלאך. It didn't come to an agent, משה רבנו's השפעה. ונבואת יהושע הייתה על ידי המלאך שחזר למקומו אחר מות משה עבד השם. והחילוק שבין נבואת משה ליהושע, the difference between those levels, you'd say to yourself, okay, it's marginal. כחילוק שבין שמיים לארץ. That's how much the difference is. It's a difference between heaven and earth. כי זה פועל וזה מקבל. One is only receiving, that's Yoshua, and one is able to be פועל from the core itself. The sun is פועל. The moon is not פועל. The moon itself is just a מקבל. It just receives. It's a much lower level of guidance. Ulkach kol yemei Moshe achlu lecha min hashamayim. Since Moshe Rabbeinu is a poel, he brings the food down from the shamayim. Shneiman yidim avtil lecha min lecha shamayim. Kevan shemet Moshe ubal rishuto she Yoshua achla lecha min haaretz. So he says it's the difference between shamayim vaaretz. Literally, it's literally the difference between shamayim vaaretz. Moshe Rabbeinu hashpa'a is straight from the. From the top levels. Where is the Hashpa'a of Yoshua? Hashpa'a Yoshua is receiving. The artist always receives. The artist is a receiver. Why is the artist receiver? It's on the bottom. The rain goes into the artist. The rain is the Mashpia. However, what happens when the rain comes? Who receives it? The artist. That's why the halakha says, in the first rains, you have to make a beracha when you see the first rains. And the Gemara says, well, how much rain do you have to see? So the Gemara says, the amount of rain, like the rain that you see, kehatan lekrat kala. Where's the hatan, where's the kala? We're talking about rains. He says, hatan lekrat kala. Explanation is, because the ground is like the kala. The ground is like the nukba. It's the earth is the receiving. The rain is the male that is mashpia. So for therefore, the amount of rain that hatan lekatkala, that it hits the ground and jumps up, and the next one comes down and jumps up, and they hit each other when it's going down. So they always look at the ground as a mashal as hatan vekala. So therefore, if you say Moshe Rabbeinu's hashpa'a from the Shamayim, it's direct. He's getting it from the Mashpia, the Zachar. The Shamayim is the Zachar. Yeshua is a Mekabel. Pene Yeshua, Kefne Hama, Kefne Lebana. Now therefore, since he's Kefne Lebana, his hashpa'a is from the Mekabel. Therefore, it comes from the Ares. Umezeh Anyan. Haya Shetil Moshe al Yeshua Melchemet Amalek Ba'ares Velakat La'atzmo מלחמת השמיים להפיל כוחו של עמלק ולוקרו מן העולם. If there were two wars simultaneously taking place with Amalek, he told Yeshua, you take care of him מתחת השמיים. You take care of him on the earth, and I'll take care of him in the heavens. So simultaneously there are two wars going on between Amalek. But that's anyway the השפעה of Moshe. כמו שדרשו רבותינו, רבינו בעיה then says it, פני משה כפני חמה, the Yeshua kavne lebana ubiur ze. The explanation of that Gemara is ki ma'alat nevuat Moshe mena poel. It's coming directly from the poel, from the mashpia. O ma'alat nevuat Yeshua mena mekabel ki chena meorot ha'el lechama ulbana ze poel veze mekabel. So that's a very, very beautiful interpretation. So there's no coincidence that he picked the kidon. Kidon is veha kidon is gematria ve kidon is gematria hamalach hamalach to show us the hashpa'a of Yeshua ben Nun. So that explains at least an understanding of that. Now, since we're learning the book of Yeshua, we can explain something else. Pene Moshe kepne Hama. Pene Yeshua kepne Lebana. Now, when we talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, we talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, if we would say on his resume, the resume of Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't end his resume. You could write his resume from here till Mashiach comes, you'll finish writing the qualities of Moshe Rabbeinu. But if you have to write the top thing of Moshe Rabbeinu on the top, what's Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest accomplishment? Huh? Noten HaTorah. Of course, even taking us out of Egypt was just the hakana to receive the Torah. When Borei Olam tells us by the snare, you're going to take them out of Egypt. It's a package deal. The one that takes you out of Egypt, you have to finish the job. The job is to get them to Matan Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu gives us the Torah. Beautiful. And if you say, what's Yeshua's greatest accomplishment? Israel. Yeshua is the Manhil. He fought not a six-day war. He fought a seven-year war. Talk about the six-day war that the Jewish people fought. This is 7 years he fought. And he ousted 31 kings from Eretz Yisrael, one at a time. And you see, we're learning each week another stunning miracle. And then 7 years to divide the land. He devoted his life, Yeshua, to what? To Eretz Yisrael. So he once explained like this. The relationship between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua ben Nun is the relationship between the sun and the moon, or better yet, is the relationship between Torah and Eretz Yisrael. Moshe is Torah, Yeshua is Eretz Yisrael. There's a big musar in this. The moon is a dark planet. The moon has no light of its own. The only reason why the moon has any light is when it's in the proper formation corresponding the sun. However, if the moon would spin off its axis and fall into the abyss, it would remain a dark planet. The moon only has light because it's positioned against the sun. If it falls out of its position, it remains dark. That's the relationship between Torah and Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael only has value when it's positioned towards the sun, where it's receiving the light of the sun. But if Eretz Yisrael falls off its axis and starts to spin into the abyss, there's no value just in the land itself. The land itself has value only when it's being influenced from... Time to get up, babe.
That's a new one.
Okay.
I guess not.
Just throw it against the wall, Abe. So therefore, that's the relationship of Eretz Yisrael towards the Torah. So therefore, that relationship of Yeshua always has to be positioned against Moshe. And the sun has to be against the moon. That's Pnei Moshe, Pnei Hamah, Pnei Shur, Pnei Lebanah. That's why Yeshua ben Nun, Alav Shalom, he writes, you know, the famous part about Tefillah called Alem El Shabaya. Alem El Shabaya is written by Yeshua ben Nun. Al Kinna Kevilak was written by Achan, our friend from last week. But this week it's talking about Alinu Shemez Yoshua ben Nun. And what does he write in that piece? In that piece he writes the following. He says, Shelo asanu kigoye ha'arasot velo samanu kimishpechot ha'adama. What does he mean over there? What does he mean, Yoshua, when he says, Shelo asanu kigoye ha'arasot? We're not like the Goyim. Just say we're not like the Goyim. What does it mean, Goyim Aratzot? Where did the Goyim live? In Mars? Shelo Asel Ki Goyim Aratzot. Shelo Asel Ki Goyim. We know Yeshua, you're trying to tell us we're not like them. You have to tell us that they live in the Aratzot. Of course, where do they live? Everybody lives in the Aratzot. Imagine Shelo Asel Ki Goyim Aratzot. So I saw the Siftei Hayim, Rabbi Friedland, the quotes in his Perush Tefillah of Yamim Noraim. He says, in history we always learn what makes a nation a nation. Number one, they have to have a piece of land. Americans are not Americans without a piece of real estate. You need a piece of real estate. They tell you need a language, a common language, which the language you have is Spanish. And you have also what? Common culture. Common culture, baseball, apple pie, Chevrolet. But you see over here, take a goy away from his real estate, what happens? Finish. Over time, they lose their identity. I mean, just look at the Greeks, for example. The people that are living in Greece today are not Greeks. The people living in Greece are exactly that, people living in Greece. They're not Greeks. When the Greeks got thrown out of their land, they dissipated into the Batel B'Shishim, and they got, Batel, or nullified into the masses, and they don't exist anymore. Now, why can't you have Greeks outside of Greece? Don't work. And any time, Romans, you've been in Rome, there's no Romans there anymore. The only Romans you find in Rome is in the museum, and in the relics. It's 6 feet underground, that's where the Romans are. You just have, it's same thing with the Egyptians. You have people that are living in Egypt, but you don't have Egyptians. Once they got exiled, they lose their... For Goyim to have an identity, you need a piece of real estate. To the Jewish people, however, it's not that. And the proof of the pudding is, the majority of our existence, we didn't have this piece of real estate. I mean, 2,000 years already, besides the last 50 or 60 years, whatever it is, for 2,000 years almost, the majority of our existence has been outside of Eretz Yisrael. And Am Yisrael Havikayam. We're still ticking. So therefore, our nation is not a nation because of the land. Then you say, well, what kept us together then? Our nation is a nation because of the book. Because of the Torah. And therefore, once we're bound by Torah, it doesn't matter where you are. Put the Jew in America, put the Jew in Uruguay, put him in the Far East. It's the same book. It's the book. That is our identity. I once said that, you know, whenever you go to the United Nations, what's the symbol in the United Nations of every country? Flag. The flag represents the nationhood. There's only one time of year that we take out flags. Simchat Torah, we take out flags. Because that's our nationhood. The nationhood is, whenever we have a Sefer Torah dedication, they give the kids flags. What are they waving the flags during the Sefer Torah dedication? What they're saying is, what the land is to everybody else, this book over here called the Torah, this is where we get our sovereignty. This is where we get our nationhood from. Now, who better? You'd think that Yeshua ben Nun, he's a Hashem Chalila v'Has, he loves it. He's a Zionist, Hashem Shalom. You say, you know, he loves Israel. He fought 7 years, and he writes in his poem. Don't think I got confused. Shelo asanu kegoye ha'aratzot. All goyim are based on aratzot. Shelo asanu kegoye ha'aratzot. Which, with all his attachment to Eretz Yisrael, he didn't lift Eretz Yisrael above the Torah. It's like taking the moon above the sun. You cannot take the moon above. Everybody has to be put in its proper perspective. So therefore, Yeshua already reminds everybody, Shelo asanu kegoye ha'aratzot. Am Yisrael, even if we didn't conquer Eretz Yisrael, and we didn't do this whole thing, we'd still be a nation. And the proof of the pudding is, we were a nation already in the Midbar for 40 years. We were nomads. We didn't even have an address. But Klai Yisrael had an address at Matan Torah, and that's what makes us a people. Last point on this, Rabotai. So in our parasha, in the beginning of the parasha, is Va'era, so the Torah says that God comes to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Va'era l'Avraham, and Yitzchak, and Yaakov, v'gam akimoti, I promised my berit to them, latet lam et eres kena'an, eres migurehem asher garuba, and I'm going to keep my promise, lakein emor l'bnei Yisrael, tam I'm going to take them out, v'lakachti yitchem, v'beti yitchem el ha'ares, and I'm taking them to the land. And the Adonai. The Torah refers to Eretz Yisrael as Morasha. Morasha. Morasha is like a legacy, an inheritance, a certain type of bequeath. I'm going to bequeath it to the Jewish people. God says, "V'nati otalechem Morasha." Now the only other item that the Torah calls Morasha is the Torah. Torah Sibalanu Moshe Morasha. So now you have two Morashas over here. You have the Torah that's called the Morasha, and you have Eretz Yisrael that's called the Morasha. I once heard from Rabbi Gifta, Alav Shalom. Rabbi Gifta said, what's the difference between a Morasha and a Yerusha? It doesn't say Yerusha. This is a Morasha. Morasha is more like a tradition or a legacy. Whereas Yerusha is an inheritance. He says, what's the nafka mina? He says, if a person receives an inheritance, it's his to do what he wants. Which means, if a guy's father leaves him $1 million, if he wants to take the $1 million and burn it, it's his prerogative. Yerusha belongs to the Yoresh. Whereas a Morasha does not belong to the one that receives it. It's his responsibility to preserve it in order to hand it over to the next guy intact. Whereas a Morasha, you're only a Shomer. And a Yerusha, you're not a Shomer. Yerusha, it's yours. So he says, Torah Sibalanu Moshe, not Yerusha. If it was a Yerusha, then each guy could take the Torah and do what he wants with it, and start to adapt it, and change it, and start to make all sorts of corrections. The Torah is not a Yerusha, it's a Morasha. And if it's a Morasha, then we have to hold on to it, and be careful that we don't even change one iota, even kutso shel yud, even the small dot. We have no right to compromise the Torah, not even to add to it. If you want to be even more, we can't even add. You have to receive it. Moshe kibel Torah misinai u'misala liYoshua, v'Yoshua l'skinim intact. As they received it, that's the way they gave it over. That's the signal of a Morasha. And that would be the same thing for Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a Morasha, it's not a Yerusha. Morasha means, you know, you receive it the way we received in the times of Yoshua, with all the conditions that we got in Israel. That's the way we have to preserve it. Once we start to change it, so then already, Chas v'Shalom, you're turning it into a Yerusha. That's what we once explained. I think we said it 2 weeks ago. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot, "Heve metamidav shel Aharon, ohev shalom, v'rodef shalom." You have to be a man of peace. You have to love the people in Karibana the Torah. So we explained a few weeks ago, of course you have to love the people. But the key is, you bring the people to the Torah. You don't bring the Torah to the people. That was your... The Torah is here. Torah doesn't move. Torah is yated shelo yamut. It doesn't move, this book. Now the people, you try to mekarev them. Umekarebam the Torah. You try to bring them closer to the book. However, there's some factions that come along and say, no, they tell the people, stay where you are. Don't change your life. We'll change the book. We'll bring the book closer to you. And therefore, we'll make all sorts of... No. The Torah says, it's not a Yerusha, it's a Morasha. But finally, I heard from Rabbi Lau, former chief rabbi. He heard it from his father-in-law. And he says the following. He says, both are Morashas. Eretz Yisrael is a Morasha. And Torah is a Morasha. Which Morasha had more success? It's clearly Torah. Since Matan Torah, there hasn't been a generation that has not had Torah. Wherever we go, Torah is. The Jewish people have been exiled to the four corners of the earth, and the Torah is always there with them. Where is the Morasha of Eretz Yisrael was much more difficult. Eretz Yisrael, we had Hurbans, we had Galuyot, and we didn't have it for many years. Even when we have it, it's Mahlokot and all these type of things that go on. So he says, why is the Morasha of Eretz Yisrael more difficult than the Morasha of Torah? They're both Morashas from the same father. So he said from his father, an unbelievable Hiddush. He said, it all depended on how we received it initially. When it came to the Torah, what did the Jewish people say? Na'aseh v'nishma. Borei Olam says, you accepted this book blindly? Na'aseh v'nishma, you didn't even ask what's written in it? You didn't have any questions? This Torah will never leave. Lo yamushu mepicha, mepi zaracha, mepi zera zaracha, mar shebad olam. And then God says, and how about Eretz Yisrael? And what we say? Shalach lecha anashim, v'yaturu. God says it's the same Morasha. If we would have said Na'aseh v'nishma at the time of Eretz Yisrael, could be Eretz Yisrael wouldn't have given us such a... But Eretz Yisrael is a very sensitive country. He's a very sensitive country. It got offended. It got offended. And it takes a lot of years to make the pius to the land over there. The land gets offended. God says, Israel was figuring for sure the Jewish people are going to say, now save Nishma. They did it already. And the land is smiling and waiting for the nation to say, all of a sudden God says, Morasha, what do we say? No. We're not so sure. Let's check it. And then we come back, and what do? We cry. And the land of Israel says, you're crying? The land says, it's going to take a long time for forgiveness. The land's not going to be so polite as the Torah was to you. The Torah will never leave you because we accepted it blindly. But when God gives you Eretz, you cry. Borei Olam says you're going to have to cry a lot. That bichya lechinam is going to cost you chas v'shalom bichya ledorot as a pius to Eretz Yisrael in order to comfort the land. Finally, we once explained. Besides Yeshua and Kalev, those were the ones that tried to... Yeshua, that's why Yeshua gets the zichut to continue the mitzvah. He wasn't from the criers. He wasn't from the ones that disparage Eretz Yisrael. So Eretz Yisrael reacts to Yeshua. Kalev is sent on the second spy expedition. Eretz Yisrael can handle Yeshua and Kalev. Those two are free from the avon of disparaging Eretz Yisrael. Nobody else would be able to do it. Eretz Yisrael, again, it's not going to let anybody in. Yeshua, you passed the test. You didn't embarrass me. You can come in and I'll react to you. That's why he comes to any place he goes to, the land responds. So we once said that there was once an evangelist, goy, priest. But these guys, they love Israel, these guys, the goyim, they love it. And he gets up in the Baptist church where he is, in front of thousands of his people over there. And he says, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, He says, does anybody know the names of the 10 spies that spoke bad about Israel? And there's silence. And then he turns to them and says, does anybody know the names of the 2 spies that spoke good about Israel? And they all scream, hey, Caleb, Joshua. And the guy looks at them and says, learn the lesson. Anybody that speaks bad about Israel, history forgets their names. And those that speak good about Israel, 2,500 years later, you still remember their names. Those that speak good about Israel, they have a legacy. They have a few. The land is very sensitive. You speak again, they won't even... Who's the spy that spoke again? We have to look at the Chumash. Who spoke again? But anybody have to look at the Chumash to look for Caleb and Yeshua's name? Those names are embedded into our memories. But those that speak against it, the land says, we have to forget those names. The land is a very, very hypersensitive country. So that's the inyan of the two Morashas. And Yeshua, when he tells the land, Shelo asanu kikoya ratzot, the land doesn't get offended. The land knows, yes, I am not integral for the Jewish people's eternity. I am only bound like the moon is to the sun. That's my position. And it is said, if you knock it off its axis and send it somewhere else, then it's a dark planet. Then already, just like the moon wouldn't have any light, it wouldn't have any light either. And that's not a coincidence. But the early Zionists, they didn't understand this. They thought they're smarter than Yeshua. They thought they were smarter. They came in 1904. They went to Basel, Switzerland, and they said, "Listen, the Jewish people, they need a homeland, because you can't be a nation without a piece of land." That was their mistake. They started off with that premise. We are like Goyei HaAretzot. So they said, okay, let's, we have a connection to Israel, some connection to have. We don't know what the connection is, but there's some connection. But it's too difficult. There's British, there's all this stuff over there. Let's not deal with the Middle East. Middle East is too difficult. So they started to explore, and they found a beautiful piece of land in Uganda. And they took a vote. And they sent spies to go explore Uganda to build the Jewish state in Uganda. Basel Congress, you can Google it, 1904, Shara Gilgulim, 1904, Basel Congress, amazing thing. And what's the explanation? The explanation is that to them it's a piece of real estate. So I once said, Eretz Israel is a very sensitive country. Could you imagine how Eretz Israel was embarrassed by that? You want to replace me with Uganda? Idi Amin Dada? You want to replace me with cannibals? You want to replace me with the war? The lowest place, sub place. That's interesting. You needed a tikkun for that. You needed a tikkun for that Basel Congress. Borei Olam would send in 1978, whatever it was, Jews would get hijacked in Uganda. And now Israeli army would have to go into Uganda and bring Jews from Uganda and take them to Eretz Yisrael. You never heard of the word Uganda only twice in history. You heard it once in the Basel Congress and night in the Gezerah Sheva, Uganda, finished. That's the tikkun. The land became then appeased by that. You have to be more ser nefesh now to show you that it... why don't you leave them there? That's where you wanted to be in the first place. The land said, let's see how they're going to be Muslim there. And they had to do it with great, great risk. And it cost blood. But the land received its appeasement at that moment when the people came back. But that's a lesson for us, Rabotai. As much as we love Eretz Yisrael, but everything has to be put into perspective. I don't want to say it too loud because, you know, some of our members might not understand it. But you have to be careful of isms. What an ism basically is, an ism takes a certain item and turns it into something very, very big, into an entity of itself. Like communism, like socialism, like capitalism. These are big, big entities. And they overshadow everything else. In our Torah, we have no isms. We have Torah-ism. But to take one mitzvah out of the Torah, let's say I would come along and say, Rabotai, I'm a believer in Bikur Holimism. Once you say Bikur Holimism, it's the exclusion of everything else. This is my, this is who I believe in. This is my shita. I do Bikur Holim, But what about Akhdasat Urim? Everything is surrounded this. We have no right to take any of the 613 mitzvot and turn it into a religion of itself. Isn't that what I'm telling you? Mm-hmm. You want to tell me, yes, the whole Torah as a whole? Of course. But you're not allowed to not only add to the mitzvot, but you cannot over-prioritize the mitzvot and take them out. If our Hachamim does Talmud Torah keneged kulam, so nobody can come along and say, well, listen, that was then. Today we're going to put Hachnasat Orim, Hachnasat Kalah, we're going to say today is better than learning. That would be changing the law. Because you're making from something that is tafir. Now tafir doesn't mean not important, it just means secondary. It's important, it's just secondary important. You cannot make from the secondary important more important than it is. So when you come along now with new isms, you have to be very careful because you're over-prioritizing one event over the other. And especially if that ism is void of Torah ism, so then already, again, you're just supporting a dark planet. And that's the tikkun that you're sure. Anybody else would say something, you know, if these isms would come along and they tell us, Yeshua, he was in the Torah Karta, that's why he said, you can't say he was in the Torah Karta, nobody loved Israel more than Yeshua. So he's the best one to tell us, Tashkafa Eretz Yisrael. Anybody else would say, he's an anti-guy, he marches with the Hezbollah and all that. No, not so, Yeshua killed all these guys, nobody loves Israel more than Yeshua. But then he says, and all that, I know it's not the Aretz. Our existence would be with Israel or not, it's all dependent on the Torah. Rabotai, lightning struck twice this month. We have the rabbi with us, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hosei Maaseh Bereshit. He's here, Rabbi Pinchas Friedman, our great rabbi and mentor. So, bring the rabbi Shtender.
First of all, when I come, it's always fascinating. I start to understand what means Pema Pik Margaliot. What is Pema Pik Margaliot? A mouth that produces gems. You know, the Hagdamot, the way Rabbi Manser Shlita takes it in his mind and starts, it's like, I always see it like a chef, I'm not a big numke, like a chef that prepares gourmet food. What does he do? He takes the same potatoes that my wife cooks, same meat, but it comes out of his, you know, he takes Yeshua, he takes Moshe, I learn the same things, but when it comes out of his mouth, you see that it's Margaliot, it's Mamish, it's amazing. It
takes one to know one, Rabbi.
I really mean, Baruch Hashem. So, I always have a minhag not to prepare. You know, why? Because this is, it's more original. I listen to what the Rav says. And Divrei Torah, that's real, is para verava. Uh-huh. And I build on that, and I think, I remind myself, you know, the Ramenza spoke about the Mateh Moshe. So we have in this week's Parsha, I'm sure that Rabbi Mensa spoke about it, but there's always additions. In this Parsha we have that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to use the Mateh, and he says, Ko amar Hashem, bazot teida ki ani Hashem. With this you will know that I am Hashem. Hine anochi makeh b'mateh asher b'yadi alamayim asher b'yaor v'nevchu ledam. You should take the mateh. You should tell Paro. We need to pay attention to the words. Hine anochi makeh b'mateh asher b'yadi. I will use the mateh. How do you interpret it?
Staff.
Asher b'yadi, that's in my hand. What's the difference where it is? Sure, it's in your hand. What do you keep it in the mouth? Hine anochi makeh b'mateh alamayim. What's asher b'yadi? This is one thing that needs to be understood. And then, Rabbi Mensa spoke to Rabbeinu Bachya. I said, Rabbeinu Bachya, Rabbeinu Bachya. So, he says a very interesting thing. That's b'shalach. Which I'll be Bezrat Hashem in Eretz Israel, and I won't come back till it's also left. But very, very amazing, Rabbeinu Bachya. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu b'shat Kriyat Yam Suf, v'ata harem et yadcha, et matcha, untei et yadcha halayam. pick up your, how do you say, harem?
Raise.
Lift up the mate, untei yatcha alayam, and use your hand. So the Rabbeinu Bachya brings a medrash that the Klal Yisrael, Bnei Israel said, a big deal. He can do everything with the mate. Let's see if he can do something without the mate. Let me try to give me a mate and hear what I can do. I can hit somebody and get back twice as much. They said, no, it's not a big deal. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Vata harem et matcha. Get rid of it. Use your that's what he brings from the Medrash. And we need to understand, what was this? You know, we're talking about people that understood something. He takes a mate, that's the ototum of Tim. How can they complain? So we'll begin with this parasha. We have a beautiful, exceptional word from Reb Shimshon Nestoropoli. We always, when he's mentioned his name, we know something good is coming. He says a brilliant idea, and we have a little bit add a twist to it. Bazot teida ki ani Hashem. What's ki ani Hashem? Rashi says in the beginning of the parsha. Vayedaber el kim el Moshe vayomer elav ani Hashem. Rashi explains what's ani Hashem. Ne'eman leshalem sachar. If it says in the mitzvah, you can trust me that I'll pay sachar tov. And when it's in avera ne'eman. Lehipara merishayim. He takes revenge of the rishayim. So ani Hashem shows both sides of the stick. I can give sachar and I can give punishment. Versus those who claim that the Greeks, that there's a kale that does good and there's a shtei rishayot. We believe Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, midat harachamim. Hashem echad is only one that does both. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a proof for the Mitzrim, or rather for Klal Yisrael, that he does both. So he says, how did he do it? On the Mateh, the Medrash, the Targum Yonatan says, and it's a Medrash, the Shem Hashem was written on the Mateh. Yud Kei Vav Kei. That Midat HaRachamim. We know from the Tikkunei Zohar, and from all the Kabbalah Sfarim, that when the Shem Havaya is written, straight, the tziruf, yud, kei, vav, kei, the rashi tevotus is yismachu ha-shamayim, v'tagel ha-aretz, everything is perfect. That's chodesh nisan, ha-chodesh hazeh lachem rosh. When it's written differently, then the thing starts to change. And when it's written completely opposite, like the chodesh from Tammuz, that's written, v'chol zeh, enenu shoveh l'sofei tevot hei vav hei yud, then it's midat ha-din. It's the greatest din that could be. But what does it prove? It's the same Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ani Hashem lo shiniti. I didn't change. It's just the tziruf that changed. Why did the tziruf change? It depends with you. The Levana, Rabbi Mensament, it depends how you are standing towards the Torah. That causes the tziruf to be or straight, then it's midat ha-rachamim, or opposite. So, Reb Shimshon Nestoropoli has an amazing idea. Moshe Rabbeinu always went with the stick upside down. It should be Yud Kei Vav Kei Midat HaRachamim to bring Rachamim on Israel. But when he needed to punish the Mitzrayim, he had to turn over the stick.
To reverse it.
Then it becomes din. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ko Amar Hashem. She should tell Paro, "Bezot teida ki ani Hashem, that I am Ne'eman leshalem sachar veNe'eman leshalem onesh. Hinei anochi make b'mate asher b'yadi. This part of the mate of the staff that's in my hand.
That's the part.
I will turn it over, and I alamayim asher b'yor. That part will be make b'yor, and then it's gonna be." Reversed. So you're going to see that the same Shem Havaya brings Rachamim and brings Din. So he continues to say an unbelievable thing. When Moshe Rabbeinu needed to bring water, they needed water, the Tzur. What did HaKadosh Baruch in the end of Parshat B'Shalach? The first time that's not the Mei Meriva, that's in the end of B'Shalach, next week's Parsha. He came, they said that we need more water. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say?
Rabbi Mentzer, help me find it. What? Let's get it because it's so. Oh, we're here, right? By Yolone Kol Adav Deleviyam Elim Mi Yiten Miteinu By Midbar Sira Basar. Still, the water. We need the water. We need the water. Umatche, Umatcha. Where's that? It's end of B'Shalach, no? He says Umatche Asher Umatcha. Help me, help me look for it. Asherikita Bo Etayor Tikach Beyadecha. Yud Zayin Hey. Thank you very much. I like the quote. ויאמר השם אל משה, עבור לפני העם, קח איתך מזקני, ומתך, ומתך, אשר הקית בו את היאור, קח בידך, והלכת. Take the stick that you hit the יאור, take it in your hand, and go, הנה אני עומד שם על הצור, והקית בצור, ויצאו ממנו מים. Why does he need to say, Umatcha asher kita bo et ayor? What's the connection? Take the mate. Because over here it's medat rachamim. He need to bring water for Klal Israel. If you need to bring water, then stick. When he brought the makot, the stick was upside down.
Now he has to bring
the
right side up.
Now he has to be the right side up. So he said, Umatcha asher kita bo et ayor, this side of the stick. That you hit the yaor, kach biyatcha. Now take it into your hand, so the Shema Vaya is going to be straight, and this way you bring the yatzumayim. So now let's finish off with the Kriyat Yam Suf. Next week, Bezrat Hashem, you will have only the Shema. So what's with Kriyat Yam Suf? So we said, Klal Yisrael said, big deal, he can do it only with a mateh. Well, they were smart people. The Shlach HaKodesh says a beautiful, it's a heilige idea. Mateh, he says, is the Memtet Sharei Binah. Mateh begins Memtet, that Memtet, Hey, the Hey, the first Hey, we know is Binah. Mateh is the Memtet Sharei Binah. The Gemara says, 50 Sharei Binah Nivra Ba'olam, Nivru Ba'olam, וכולם ניתנה למשה חסר אחד שנאמר ואתה חסר יומת מלך. משה רבנו was able only to deal with ממתת שערי תומה because it goes זה לומת זה עשה אלוקים. He had ממתת שערי בינה, so he was able to deal with the ממתת שערי תומה. By קריאת ים סוף, יציאת מצרים says the שפת אמת. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's not part of it because he's the Memtet Sharei. He has no problem with Memtet Sharei Tuma. What did Kodesh Baruch Hu tell Klal Israel? Go back and beginning of Parshas Beshalach. This will find easy. Bezrat Hashem. In Parshas Beshalach, Kodesh Baruch Hu tells them, Daber el Bnei Israel, veYashuv veYachnu lifnei Pi Achirot. They should go back to Pi Achirot. And Rashi says, why? Because over there is the Avodah Zarah lifnei Baal Tzafon, and when Paro kedei lahatotan sheyamru kashe yiratan, say he can fight all the Avodah Zarah, but so Baal Tzafon he can't fight. Why? He says Baal Tzafon was the Shar Anuah for the Sharei Tumah, the 50th Shar of Nuah Sharei Tumah. And when Paro said, you know what, the big deal, Moshe Rabbeinu can fight the Memtet Sharei Tumah, but Baal Tzafon, they're stuck. They can't get out of it. And what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? In order to be Machnia Baal Tzafon, he had to reveal the Shar Anuan from Sharei Binah. That's the Kriyat, that's the Itgalut HaGdola by Kriyat Yam Suf. Kriyat Yam Suf, what's Yam? Yam is Begimatia 50. HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened. I want to be what's Kriyat Yam Suf, what's Ubekayehu. There's a big difference. Kriyat Yam Suf represents the bringing down the 50th Shar of the Tumah. Ubekayehu means open up the Shar Anuan. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what the Klal Yisrael said. They were smart, but they said Moshe Rabbeinu's power is only with the Mateh, Memtet Sharei Binah. He can fight the Memtet Sharei Tumah. But if he loses the mem de mate, he has no power. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Vayaminu Bashem v'Moshe Avdo. He says, Unetei et yadcha. Reach out. It's so beautiful. Harem et matcha. Take away the stick. Unetei etcha alayam. Reach out to the yam v'gematria, to the nun sharei bina. The Sfatemeh says, it's an addition with it together with. That's why with Kriyat Yam Suf, Moshe Rabbeinu already has a kesher, because it was a miracle for him too. Az Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael at Hashira Azot Yiratzon Shenizke Lebiyat HaMashiach. Mashiach Zerashay Tevot Mashiach Yegale Shar Chamishim Kimei Tzeitcha Meretz Mitzrayim Arenu Niflaot, says the Zohar, Arenu Nun Plaot B'mera B'yameinu Amen.